You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast.
Yes, you are.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Aren't you going to miss doing this together?
Yeah, I guess we're going to be doing it like from far away.
From two different cities.
From far away. I will be in warm Chicago.
Yeah, sitting on which of Billy Graham's chairs?
Which of Billy? I'm going to use his. I'm thinking the Billy Graham stuffed chair.
Yes,
it's particularly comfortable.
Can you bring the statue of Billy Graham?
That would be so awesome. That would be so awesome.
I mean, it should be there actually, shouldn't it?
It should be. I think it can go anywhere the Graham family and organization would like it to go.
This should be your request.
It should be. I would like the statue. Would like the statue. People don't know.
Put it on the plane with you.
There's a big statue of Billy Graham right outside of Lifeway.
That's disproportionate.
In other words, it's tall. He's tall.
Yeah, and his hands and his head are huge compared to the rest
of
the
world. Really? Are you mocking the statue, like, right now? It's cool.
It is cool.
Will Graham has sat in my office and said that's his favorite statue of Billy Graham. You know what?
How many statues are there?
I don't know. There's a lot of statues. But he says it's his favorite statue because Billy Graham's got his Bible open and his mouth open preaching.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. Now, quit, don't make fun of it. Listen, we do not mock Billy Graham.
No. I'm not mocking Billy Graham.
He is the fourth member of the Trinity. And
very
we do
much
not
so.
Mock Billy
hey,
Graham.
Hey, when I was preaching yesterday, I referenced Billy Graham.
Did you really?
Yeah,
okay,
of
good,
course.
Good.
Of course.
All
I mean,
right,
that
good.
Guy. So, why don't you share, in case you've been living in a hole and have not heard the breaking news as we see here.
Exactly. I think people like ran a breaking news story because they had nothing else to do. So I have accepted the a newly created endowed chair at Wheaton College called the Billy Graham Distinguished Chair of Church Mission and Evangelism.
I like that. Did you ask them to add distinguished?
No. I said to them, I'm not that distinguished. And they said, it's not you distinguished. It's the chair.
Oh, okay.
So you get to sit in the distinguished chair. And I said, let's do that. So I will be I'll be the executive director of the Billy Graham Center.
Very cool.
I will be head of the Evangelism Leadership Program. We're actually going to start some, I can't make news here, but church planters might want to be listening to some of the things we're going to create.
Very cool.
So it's going to be great.
Cool. That's awesome. And the question that we've been receiving is, what does this mean? Because you and I lead newchurches.com together, and what
not
does
not anymore.
Mean?
Not anymore. You're out. It means you're out.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. And you're taking it with
I'm
you.
I'm taking it to All Chicago,
right.
baby.
See, I'll
Peace
move
out.
Back to Canada.
Peace out. Go back to your Canadian paradise, the workers' paradise.
At least I won't have terrible allergies here.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's bad here. But not in Chicago.
No.
Where I'm going to live.
Yeah.
So we can go. You go back to your Vancouver, whatever. So New Churches continues as is. I'm still having an ongoing relationship with Lifeway. Several different projects, one of which is New Churches. So excited about working with the podcast. We got our partners. We got our courses. We got all kinds of stuff going on at New Churches that will continue.
Awesome. Well, that is some breaking news. And if you are now listening to this and it's the summer or the fall, well,
you're like, huh?
Too late. Well, today we have a question from Jason Arnett. And actually, you know what? Ed, I know we had a little bit of an intro here, but I did want to do one more thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to do something special on episode 71.
71. Okay.
All right. Right now it's episode 67, and I wanted to do something by episode 71. So we're giving our listeners a couple of weeks to get this done, and then they can win
Why
a
71?
Copy. Why 71?
Yeah.
Just for the heck of it.
You can just pick a random 70 or something to be a random number.
Yeah. So, 71 is the next one we're going to be on in a couple episodes.
Oh, okay. I see.
All right. So, we're going to do a giveaway for a free copy, a free signed copy of Planting Missional Churches.
Ooh.
So, go to Amazon.com, type in Planting Missional Churches, pick the one with the nice cover.
Yes, wow. So, because there's two versions,
yes.
And they're still selling the old one.
They are still
we
selling the old
one. We need to tell them to stop the madness.
I know how many copies are left. It's dwindling down, but
people are buying them.
The new edition is the one with the nice cover. It's the second edition.
It's not orange. It's gray. The gray one's the second edition.
And leave a review for us.
Okay.
The three best reviews who leave on Amazon.com and then also email the review to me, daniel@newchurches.com, you will get a free copy of the book, a free signed copy. All right, so do that right now, and let's listen into today's question.
Hi, this is Jason from outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm currently in seminary and have about 2 years of study left. My wife and I have felt the call to church planting for a couple of years now. We just don't know where. We have been partnered with a church plant in Toronto for a couple of years. We've worked with a church plant in Fayetteville suburbs, and we've seen opportunities in rural Michigan. My question for you is, do you have any advice for discerning the where or when in our calling? We have the what, we're listening for the where and when.
Well, the where and the when. This works really well because I'm going to be speaking about the what tomorrow up in New York.
Yeah.
but where and when?
Yeah. Here's the thing, you know, it's a tricky thing. Some people are called to plant churches in urban context. Some people called to plant churches in the 1040 window. There are all these different kinds of places to consider. And so it's a very big table to set out before you and say, okay, here, or here. Mm-hmm. So I guess for me, here's the process that I would encourage. I would say first and foremost that if you're willing to plant a church, you should ask the question, Lord, would you give me a privilege of planting a church where your name has never been uttered? Mm-hmm. To think about entering an unengaged, unreached people group. There's less than 3,000 unengaged, unreached people groups around the world. And to do that. And so you say, why start there? Because here's the deal. Most people start with what they know. But if God's calling to plant a church, why don't we think first about what we don't know and just say, let's go boldly to there. Yeah, and good. If you're willing to go there, if you're willing to put your yes on the table and let God put it on the map and go anywhere to plant a church, then you'll be open to other places. See, because the reality is, you know, in our study, they can get the study at newchurches.com, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm. You remember the most common place people plant a church was the American South.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and when we look in the Canadian sample of Australia, people tend to plant churches in the areas that have the most churches.
Yeah.
So what happens is that, and that's a natural thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, as I'm headed up to Chicago, I know that I'll see less church plants than I see in Nashville, where I live now. But the problem is that natural inclination is a hindrance, I think, to the mission. So begin with saying, Lord, I'll go anywhere. Unengaged, unreached people group, maybe a great urban center in the 1040 window. Think in terms of great cities around the world. But be open to go wherever. And then with your openness, putting your yes on the table, letting God put on the map, then say, okay, Lord, if that's not it, you've prayed it through, where is it then? And what I believe is that the Lord will actually burden us for a people and a place.
Yeah.
Now I'll give you an example. So I planted my first church, Buffalo, New York. Gosh, I can't remember how many years ago that was, but it was a lot of years ago, 29 years ago. Nobody wanted to go to Buffalo. It was in the middle of the crack epidemic in the late 80s, early 90s. I met the mayor. The mayor said, why are you moving to the city when everyone else is evacuating? But I stood at the corner of Prospect and 7th Avenue, if I remember the streets, and I just had this distinct impression from the Lord. I wasn't an audible voice, but it was clear. Come and plant my church here, the Lord's church here. And so then I fell in love with the people of Buffalo. And the people in inner city of Buffalo, and I just be blunt with you, not a lot of people were loving people trapped in the inner city. If you could get out of the inner city, you would have gotten out already. So we moved in, we planted a church, we knew this was the place and this was the people. So God gave me a vision for an area and a passion for a people.
Yeah, what I deeply appreciate about that is that you're starting with prayer, you're starting with the mission of God. Recently when I was sharing on I was teaching this seminar on missiological frameworks for missional communities. And I was sharing, hey, there's a spectrum. We all have the spectrum. One end is the mission of me and the other is the mission of God. And what I so appreciate about what you said is you're starting with that framework of, hey, the mission of God. Here I am, Lord, send me. Because I know there are some planters who they actually start with, which are the richest suburbs?
Yeah.
Where can I launch the largest, which means where I can get the most funding? And I mean, to start that way, I would just say is if God's calling you to church plant, I mean, start with his agenda, his way. And if God calls you to plant in a rich suburb, I mean, may the Lord lead you that
Amen.
Way.
Amen. We definitely
agree. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But let's start not with what is most strategic, but rather, Lord, here I am.
And I think that's the key. I think there's a sense that, man, a lot of people. Now, here's the deal. I lived in suburban Atlanta and I live in suburban Nashville. Yeah. So I can't point a finger and I'm not. I've written articles about why we need to plant churches in the American South.
Yeah.
Right. But our listeners are around the world. I would just say that might not be our first inclination, but if the Lord calls you there, then go there.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I think strategically, Paul focused on cities.
Yeah.
I think we need to look to the cities. And I think, you know, and cities with their density and diversity. Dahati Lewis likes to talk about the urban settings as dense and diverse. Mm. I think we need to pray about those settings. But I think he mentioned rural. So listen, I'm all about that. Let's plant churches in rural areas. We're pulling together kind of a consortium to discuss rural church planning at Wheaton College at the Billy Graham Center this fall.
That's great.
So again,
that's so needed.
It is because but here's the deal. And we can do two things at once. We can walk and chew gum. We can be passionate about not in Singapore. Wow, random connection. Well, that nobody knows. I'll tell you a little more, though. People will Google this. The guy who got caned in Singapore for doing that, actually was from the town where I planted a church. Just outside the town where I planted a church in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Insane.
So there you go. Kind of random connections. Anyway, focus. We didn't take our Ritalin before the episode today. But here's what I would say. It's not. All right. So let's say you get to the rural American South. You say, Ed, well, if I prayed the way you pray, that's the last thing on the list because that's the most churched. Here's the deal. If that's where God calls you, that's the first thing on God's list for you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm just saying strategically, if we're going to reach the world, we can't keep planting churches in with automatic assumption that we're all going to go to the same place.
Yeah.
And so I think ultimately that we want to pray through that process. Now, what I would say back to, so probably for him, tell me his name again.
Jason.
Back to Jason's question. So Jason, kind of even the brief things that you mentioned, here's what I would say is pray through some of those things. And then go to some of the places you're praying about and wait on the Lord to prompt your heart to make it clear.
Yeah.
Because when it all gets difficult, you're going to need to know. And I remember in Buffalo saying, you know, I remember standing at Prospect at 7th Avenue, the Lord called me here. So I think I'd walk through that process, but ultimately I'd get a passion for a place. And I love, so Erie, Pennsylvania, right? I mean, Buffalo, New York, these are not cities that people love. You know, it's now people who live there do. And again, I want to get cards and letters. But I got to tell you, these are many ways places that the economy left behind.
Yeah.
But I love those places. I love the places. I love going bowling in Erie, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I love watching the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, New York. And I love the people there as well.
Yeah, because if God has called you to a place, in retrospect, one thing that you will be able to do is share with a complete stranger or with a friend why they need to come and live in that place. Right, you will be such a champion for that place and to know and to share why you love that. I mean, that's in retrospect, one way that you'll know that that's the place that God has called you to. So let's not confuse the where and the what.
That's good.
And the reason being is we may get super excited about planting because God has placed that on your heart. You may have read a book or listened to a conference or been in a worship service and God has really been speaking to your heart. But I feel like in our day and age where it's all about download now, instant gratification, we'll often sense, hey, if God is saying this to me, he's obviously telling me to do it right now, right? But that's one thing that we can often misunderstand and confuse.
Yeah. So I think there's a process here. And I would tell you, and this is probably important for both coming from both you and me, is a lot of people kind of discern from the Lord in a lot of different ways. That's the way I encourage church planters to do because I think they need a higher level of certainty to go do something as crazy as this. You need to know. So when I stand at a place, right, when I stand on Steritania Road in Erie, Pennsylvania or wherever, I can look and say, this is what the Lord's called me to do. Now, you know, at the time of this recording, I just resigned my church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, we planted this church. Now we're in two campuses. I lived here for 4 years before I planted the church.
Yeah,
I appreciate the community. But then the Lord gave me a great love for the community and a love for the people. That's when I knew it was time to plant a church. Mm,
that's good. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode and today's breaking news. We need to have some of that music.
Breaking news like a week ago. So it's not that breaking. So,
Well, submit your questions in at newchurches.com and we would love to answer them. Catch you next time.